smoke and bells ringing means a pope has been chosen. This is a Fox News alert.
Ladies and gentlemen, be ready. For the first time in New York, this new show, The Seer, with Prophet Zogo. Every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m., Wednesday 5:30 p.m., and Saturday 6:30 p.m. Your life will never ever be the same. So listen to The Scene every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m., Wednesday 5:30 p.m., and Saturday 6:30 p.m. here on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com. Your life will never, ever be the same.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Well, with the forecast for today, calling for cloudy conditions with some scattered rain showers. Our highs will reach the middle to upper 40s. At night, cloudy, chance of rain showers for the evening, maybe a rain or snow shower overnight. Nighttime lows in the lower 30s. Back to partial sunshine on Friday. Friday's high is up to around 45. Mostly cloudy to partly cloudy at night, now near 30. Sunshine Saturday, temperatures middle 40s. Sunday, clouds and sunshine, temperatures in the upper 30s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
This is America's great community radio station.
Really seems to be in touch with the heartbeat of the city.
AM 1460 WVOX.
WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, February 28th, 2013. The 70th day of winter, roughly 90 days to a season, so that means roughly 20 days until spring. Actually, it is exactly 20 days until spring, which occurs on March 20th. We have gained 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 36 since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:30 this morning. It will set at 5:45 this afternoon. We will have 11 hours and 15 minutes of daylight today. The moon will rise at 9:11 tonight. It will set at 7:37 tomorrow morning. We are 3 days past full moon. The next full moon is March 27th. I hope you saw that glorious full moon we had just a couple of days ago. The moon will, I'm sorry, we just did that. Okay, tide information is not available today. Sorry, but I do assure you that the tides will rise and fall twice today. A regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Today we honor Staff Sergeant Jonathan D. Davis, age 34, of Kayenta, Arizona. He was with the 1st Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand Province on February 22nd. There is some gratification that we have but one American service death in the last 2 weeks and that there were none to report 2 weeks ago. But one dead American means one family's grief. I don't know if Sergeant Davis had a wife or children, but I'm quite sure there were those who loved him and will miss him. In the near future, my president assures us we will soon be out of Afghanistan and there will be no more deaths to report. Let it be so. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. I look forward to that day in the near future when this feature comes to an end because there will be no more deaths to report. Okay, it's time for the Culture Corner. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them because everyone has the right to be wrong. Well, we saw A Good Day to Die Hard, Bruce Willis's latest foray into the Die Hard series. I did not expect much from this movie, which is the fifth in the Die Hard series, and I was not disappointed. I went because I like Bruce Willis. I like him as an actor, and I like him as a person, at least as the person we get to see when he is interviewed on talk shows. So it was like visiting with an old friend, not at his best, but still a friend. As for the movie, this is not even a Die Hard movie. This franchise has gone the way of the James Bond films, which are no longer James Bond films. Since Sean Connery and Roger Moore played 007, there has been a list of transitory actors in the role who come and go. None has any connection to the real 007. I doubt if any of them actually have their martinis shaken, not stirred. They do not convince me. Barbara Broccoli inherited the production business and Bond properties from her father, Albert Cubby Broccoli, but James Bond no longer exists. However, this is a Die Hard review, so the difference is that Bruce Willis still plays John McClane, but this film, for some reason, perhaps economic, is set and shot overseas in Russia, Hungary, and wherever. Very unlikely that the John McClane I know would go to Russia even to visit his son, which is the stretch. Too much mayhem, too loud, nothing resembling a plot. The first two, okay, maybe four, had plots and were consistent with the character. This one doesn't and isn't. I could go into the acting and directing and troubleshoot the storyline, but why bother? If you like Bruce Willis, you will probably want to see A Good Day to Die Hard. If you don't really, really, really like Bruce, save your $12 or give them to a homeless guy in the street. I just hope he doesn't make any more. My guest today is Captain Paul Watson. Hopefully our Skype connection is working. He is the guiding light, heart, and soul of the Sea Shepherd Society. You may know him from the cable series Whale Wars. He is in the South Australian seas at this moment, saving whales by keeping the Japanese poaching vessels from killing whales in a whale sanctuary. The loophole under which they operate is the Japanese is that they are taking the whales for research, which is just a load of baloney, and that's not the word I would use if I could possibly get away with the other B word. The whales are for the Japanese to eat. Speaking to us from aboard ship in the South Australian Whale Sanctuary, and this is a Skype connection, so bear with us if it's not perfect. Welcome, Captain Paul Watson.
Well, thank you, Bob.
We got you. Good. And we hear you very well. Very good. Okay, Paul, first of all, what is the weather? Where are you exactly, and what is the weather down there?
Well, if you draw a line straight down from India for 5,000 miles, you'll come to us. We're just near the coast of Antarctica, about 2,600 miles southwest of Perth, Australia, and about the same distance from Cape Town, South Africa. And the weather, it's cold.
Well, actually, it's summer down there. You have 20 days till autumn, but you're very close to Antarctica, right?
Yeah, summer in Antarctica is the average temperature is about plus one or so centigrade. Well, probably about 34 Fahrenheit.
Wow. Okay. Tell us what is going on right now.
Frozen.
It's on video, isn't it?
Bear with us, folks, because this, as you heard, we are listening to Captain Watson from Antarctica, basically, Australian Antarctica, which could not be further away. Did you hear the question, Paul? Are you still there?
I'm here, but I didn't hear the question.
Okay, the question is, what is going on down there right now? What are you doing?
Right now, we're chasing the Japanese whaling fleet out of the Southern Ocean Whale Sanctuary. They're heading north. In another 5 hours or so, they'll be out of this sanctuary. They haven't killed very many whales. It's been a very successful campaign, intense for a couple of days, but I'm hoping that we'll be out of here in the next few days.
Well, you say intense. The media has been covering you. You've been called a pirate, and you've been called eccentric. I suppose you're eccentric, as was Mahatma Gandhi and Jesus, and a list, Diane Fossey, many, many eccentric people through history have changed history. So I'll buy the eccentric part. What about pirate? What do you say to that?
Oh, the judge in the Ninth Circuit called me a pirate. I'm not really a pirate. I just play one on TV. But But if I'm officially a pirate, maybe I can get a rum deal somewhere and, you know, Captain Watson's rum or something.
Well, the judge said, this is Judge Alex Kaczynski of the U.S., the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court. He says, you don't need a peg leg or an eye patch. When you ram ships, hurl containers of acid, that doesn't sound like you, maybe rancid butter, and drag metal-reinforced ropes in the water to damage the boats, you are without doubt a pirate. Can you answer that?
Yeah, the judge really didn't look at the evidence. We don't throw acid, we throw rotten butter. I guess if you really look at it, it's butyric acid, like milk is lactic acid. But he neglected to mention that the Japanese throw concussion grenades at us, hit us with laser beams, long-range acoustical weapons, ram our vessels, prop foul us, and shoot at us. He sort of neglected to mention that.
Yeah, well, he's sitting in his ivory tower with his black robes. He doesn't know anything. Who is the most, you know, I want to hate a lot of people. I want to hate the Japanese. I want to hate the Australians. I even want to hate some of the Americans for not doing anything. Who's the most culpable? The Japanese for the poaching, the Australians for allowing it on their own waters, or Americans for denying you sanctuary?
It would be the, you know, the Japanese are down here taking, they want to take 1,035 whales, and we're making sure that they don't. Australia is the only country that's actually taking them to the international court, but they should be a little more aggressive in patrolling their waters. The Japanese fleet's in contempt of the Australian federal court, and, you know, if you or I are in contempt of the court, the police would come get us, so we can't understand why they just don't go and police their own waters. But there's a lot of politics involved, a lot of trade deals involved, and that's the reason that we do what we do, is because governments just don't act. We have all the laws and treaties and regulations we need to protect the oceans, but we don't have any economic or political will to uphold those laws. So that's what we're doing around the world, is trying to uphold those laws.
Tell me, does Australia even have a navy?
Australia has a very big navy, actually. They just sit in port most of the time.
Is there an explanation for that?
I think that the Prime Minister said last week that what do people expect us to send ships out everywhere anybody's in trouble? And our answer to that was no. These are Australian vessels with Australian citizens that are being attacked by Japanese whalers. I think that's sort of Australia's business. But anyway, she's on her way out, and there's an election this year, and that didn't do very well with the people of Australia. We have great support in Australia.
Excellent. We're going to come back in just a minute, Paul. Hang on, and if you ram a ship in the meantime while we're on break, do it in my name, please. But we'll be right back to you. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Lovensoul. This is Environmentally Sound. My guest is Captain Paul Watson, speaking to us from a ship somewhere. I think he's on the Bob Barker. We'll find out when he comes back. Between India and Australia and Antarctica, somewhere in there. If you're listening in Classy Pond, Florida, Agri Creek, Pilgrim Springs, Shishmarek, or Mary's Igloo, Alaska, or Darwin or Adelaide, Australia, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live, and we will be right back.
With world and national news three times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. Automatic spending cuts are kicking in Friday. That's also when the president and top lawmakers are meeting on them.
Pennsylvania Democratic Congressman Matt Cartwright sums up the way many are thinking.
This is no way to be responsible with the finances of the United States of America.
But as for how to fix the sequester mess, Utah Republican Jason Chaffetz says there's more than $19 billion in the federal pipeline that hasn't been spent on various projects, and the White House has asked for another $10
billion. Fox Radio's Rich Johnson. Army Private Bradley Manning, accused in the WikiLeaks case, pleads not guilty to aiding the enemy at a military hearing. And the Pope winding down his final day in office.
In his last farewell to his cardinals, Pope Benedict promised unconditional obedience to whomever the cardinals elect as his successor in the upcoming conclave. He urged all to work in harmony.
Fox Radio's Courtney Walsh reporting from the Vatican. Fox News, we report, you decide.
These difficult economic times present a whole new set of problems for proprietors, owners of independent regional companies. But with all the change comes new opportunities. And we recommend the Rosenberg and Chesnoff Company. founded by Alan Rosenberg as a specialized accounting practice for independent local companies, Rosenberg and Chesnoff knows the pressures and problems of maintaining and growing a retail or service business. With offices in Westchester and Manhattan, Rosenberg and Chesnoff earned their rep advising large firms and high net worth individuals, but they have a special understanding of smaller, growing companies where they are today unequaled in that field. So if you're satisfied with your present accounting firm and advisors, so be it. But if you're looking for more brain power, creativity and dynamism from an independent accounting practice where they don't farm it out to a computer or a junior staffer, we suggest you call Alan Rosenberg's firm, Rosenberg and Chesnoff, for a free consultation. If you've been feeling it's time your accountant was a little more on your wavelength, Rosenberg and Chesnoff, 914-722-6901, or in Manhattan, 212-382-3939.
Here's news of a delightful evening in Manhattan. For one night only, the Maccioni Restaurant Group proudly presents Sabrina Vendor this coming Monday evening, March 4th, at Café Le Cirque on 58th Street. Beautiful song stylist Sabrina Vendor sings romantic La Dolce Vita Italian love songs and ballads starting at 7:30 in Le Cirque's Café. Discover a great new singing star at the Le Cirque Café, New York's newest musical venue. Don't miss glamorous Sabrina Vendor with a team of top-flight musicians this coming Monday at the legendary Le Cirque in the courtyard of the Bloomberg Building on East 58th between Lexington and 3rd, beginning at 7:30. For information on Musical Mondays, call Le Cirque at 212-644-0202. In Manhattan, 212-644-0202.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of school superintendent Richard Organishak, Lou Felicione, Bob Lebensold, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
This is the authentic voice of the people.
It's a community station.
AM 1460, WVOX.
WVOX.
Okay, we are back. We are speaking with Captain Paul Watson in the South Australian Sea. At least I think it's called the South Australian Sea. Somewhere near Antarctica, we have a Skype connection, which so far has been holding up quite well. Captain Paul Watson is the gentleman, and I call him a gentleman. Others call him a pirate, but to me, that does not exclude him from being a gentleman. He's a great guy. He's a hero of mine. He is blocking the Japanese poachers. You know, you could call them fishermen, but they're poachers. They are in a sanctuary trying to kill whales, which are protected. And he alone in his organization, the Sea Shepherd Society, is causing them a lot of grief. And it's an international situation. You may have seen him on Whale Wars. Welcome back, Captain Paul Watson.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, now... you were recently in Germany. There were some, I don't know about indictments, but certainly there are extradition orders both to Costa Rica, if I got it right, and to Japan. Tell us what happened there, because you didn't get extradited. You're out at sea. What happened?
Well, when you take on a nation like Japan, they've got a lot of money and they've got a lot of lawyers to throw at us. So, They tried to get some sort of charges against me for some time. Then in December 2011, the president of Costa Rica met with the prime minister of Japan. And about a week later, all of a sudden, there was a warrant out for my arrest. What they'd done was dig up a decade-old situation where I had stopped a shark finning operation in Guatemalan waters at the request of the Guatemalan government. I got a commendation from the Guatemalan government, but it was a Costa Rican boat. So the Costa Ricans charged me with trying to kill these fishermen, although nobody was hurt and no property, no boats were damaged. But we went into court into Costa Rica and the whole thing was dismissed. I never thought anything about it until 10 years later when suddenly they charged me again. And this is all brought about by Japan's lobbying of Costa Rica. I arrested me in Germany, even though it wasn't on the Interpol list because Interpol had dismissed it as being politically motivated, but Germany decided to act on Costa Rica's advice, and I was arrested, and then I was held on house arrest for 2 months, and then I was told by a contact in the German Ministry of Justice that Japan had issued an arrest warrant and I would be sent to Japan, so I just simply got on a boat and left.
So if you had gone to Japan, what would they have done to you?
I have no idea. The charge in Japan is for trespassing and obstructing business. These are not the kind of charges that you get extradited for. You get on the red list at Interpol for, you know, being a serial killer or a war criminal, not for trespassing. And I didn't even do that. They said that I ordered somebody to trespass on one of their boats, which I didn't. But anyway, that's irrelevant. If I had got to Japan, I probably would never leave.
So they would just lock you up and figure some way to keep
you. And the reason for that is over the last 9 years, we've shut down their whaling operations, cost them over $100 million and saved over 5,000 whales. And that's made them quite angry.
So my understanding is that whale meat is not really all that popular in Japan anyway. What are the politics here?
Well, there's about 5,000 tons of it in storage in Japan, but there's a lot more behind this than that. You know, in Japan, when politicians retire from government, they're given really cushy jobs in government bureaucracies, like the Institute for Cetacean Research, $250,000 salaries. They don't want to lose those salaries, so they lobby to keep the industry going. The union that supplies the seamen for the boats is a Yakuza-controlled union, and they put a lot of pressure on the government. Also, the Japan Fisheries Agency has a policy that if they give in on anything, that, like, for instance, they give in on whaling, they're going to have to give in on bluefin tuna and all the other fisheries that they're over-exploiting. And they also want to keep an economic foot in the door in Antarctica, and so that, you know, they want what their eyes are actually set on is cobalt and uranium and oil, but this is, like, the first move. So there's a lot of reasons why they're down here, and it has nothing really to do with, whale meat, really. Now they're claiming that it's not science, that it's part of their food culture, and it's a tradition. But in fact, whaling was introduced into Japan in 1911 by the Norwegians, and then really didn't get off the ground until 1946 when General Douglas MacArthur outfitted their whaling fleet and sent them off. So that if eating whale meat is part of their cultural tradition, then American occupation should be part of their tradition too.
Well, you've also already said that many tons of whale meat are just in storage, so obviously it's not a popular dish. Can you ever make landfall again, or do you face arrest as soon as you set foot on shore? Now, I did see this morning there's a petition circulating to the White House to have President Obama step in and do something. But Americans, is the American government doing anything to protect you?
Well, I discovered something out of this that I was completely surprised and shocked to find out, and that is, as an American citizen, if Japan or any other country puts me on the red list, the State Department will extradite you to that country without any questions asked, so you don't even have to have a hearing, which I find absolutely unbelievable. In other words, you're not even protected as a citizen in your own country from politically motivated charges in other countries. And you certainly can't get a fair trial in those countries. But anyway, we're working on it. We have lawyers. I'm not really that concerned about it because, you know, my job is protecting the oceans, and that's where I am. And I can't think of a freer nation in the world than the world's oceans.
Well, but you personally, if you were to come, your headquarters is in Seattle, correct?
Yes.
Okay. If you were to come to Seattle, it's my understanding that you will be arrested here even. Is that true or no?
We don't really know. Nobody answers the question for us. The State Department can decide to do it or not decide to do it. It all depends how much political pressure is being put on them by Japan. So, and Japan's quite capable of putting on a lot of political pressure. So anyway, I'm much more useful being on my ship stopping their illegal whaling activities than I am sitting in one of their jail cells in Tokyo. So
oh,
I prefer to be out here.
And there was even something that if you had been extradited to Costa Rica, there was a bounty on your head?
Well, that's an even more complicated thing, is that the shark finning mafia, the people who illegally sell shark fins, have got a $25,000 price on my head, because not just for this, but because we have an operation in the Galapagos where we're working with the Ecuadorian federal police and the Galapagos Park Rangers, and we really hurt the shark finning poaching there. And so the shark fin poachers have put that bounty on my head. So, for instance, if I was brought to Costa Rica and put into a jail in Costa Rica, I could be killed in the jail for somebody to collect that reward. But the thing is I would be sent to Costa Rica primarily to be then sent off to Japan. They're just being a pawn for the Japanese motivation here.
Okay, so now if people want to support Sea Shepherd, there are many ways to do it. They can volunteer, they can contribute. What's the best way to do that? Would that be through your website, seashepherd.org?
Yes, through our website. And people can support us to many levels, but, you know, by being a supporter, by being a shore supporter, and of course, to people who crew the ships. We wouldn't be able to do anything if it wasn't for the passion and courage of these volunteers from all around the world who are on these four ships. We have 120 people this year participating from 24 different nations on the ships. And that's what makes this organization what it is, their passion, their courage.
And they're men and women, too. I see pictures of your crew, and they're young ladies.
Yeah, there's men and women, and like I said, from all over the world and from all different age groups and walks of life.
Okay, so we're running out of time. Your website is seashepherd.org. People can volunteer either to participate on board ship, or they can send money. In any case, I would encourage them to go to the website, seashepherd.org. Now, just one last question before we let you go. You are, in fact, a vegan, are you not?
Yes, our vessels are vegan vessels. We promote that because one of the things that we're trying to get across in saving the oceans is that 40% of all of the fish that's taken from the sea is fed to livestock. So we have the ridiculous situation where chickens are eating more fish than the world's albatrosses, and pigs are eating more fish than the world's sharks. So we're literally eating our oceans alive. And that's what we're trying to get across, that there's too many people and not enough resources in the oceans to continue to feed those people. And the real message we're trying to get across is this: if we can't save the fish, we can't save the whales, we're not going to save the oceans. If we don't save the oceans and the oceans die, we die. We don't live on this planet with a dead ocean.
Okay, we got you, Paul. We have to say goodbye. Thank you so much for joining us, and all the best.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay,
it's
bye-bye.
A pleasure.
I'd like to thank Captain Paul Watson for taking time out from confronting the Japanese whale poachers in the Southern Oceans to join us on Environmentally Sound today. Paul Watson is a hero of mine. He walks the walk. He has put himself in great danger, could easily lose his life or his freedom. Go to his website. Consider his work. Support him if you believe he does the good work. Thought for the week, whales are like us. They are mammals. They suckle their young. They are gentle and intelligent. Stay tuned to WVOX or Fox News coverage of the Pope's resignation will follow. Howard Sturman is not with us today. I am Bob Lebensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.